Trouble according to Humphrey. Chapter 3. The situation with the Stevensons. The reason I used to think Seth's full name was Sit Still Seth was because he always wriggles and wiggles in his chair, and Mrs. Brisbane always reminds him to sit still. He really does try, but he has so much energy, he just loves to move. I suppose that's why he loves sport a lot, both playing it and watching it, along with our other sport fan in room 26, Tabitha. As much as I like Seth, I was hoping his whole family didn't fidget and squirm as much as he did. I always have my wheel to work off excess energy. Too bad Seth doesn't have one too. On Friday, Seth's mum, June, drove us home without so much as a twitch. She did tell her son to stop bouncing up and down on the seat, which I appreciated, as car rides always make me queasy, even without Seth's jiggling and jogging. "Thanks for picking me up, Mum," Seth said. "I thought Grandma would do it. I was afraid she'd have trouble with the cage. The shop wasn't busy and Carolyn covered for me. I'll do the same for her next week," she laughed. "I'd be glad when your sister can drive." Seth bounced a little higher. "I won't," he exclaimed. Once we were home, I was placed in the living room on a big table. I saw the other members of Seth's family. His sister was a teenager named Lucinda, and Grandma was an older lady. I later worked out was June's mum and Seth's and Lucinda's grandmother. "Want to meet Humphrey?" Seth asked his sister. She turned up her nose. "Hamsters for children," she said and walked away. "I'm going to write in my journal now, so please don't disturb me." "Don't worry, I won't," I squeaked at her. "Hamsters are for children," tried telling that to Mr. Morrells or Aldo or even Mrs. Brisbane. The older woman slowly approached the cage and leaned over to get a closer look at me, but not too close. "Don't worry, Grandma. He won't hurt you," said Seth. "Is it clean?" she asked. "Probably cleaner than I am," Seth joked. Grandma didn't crack a smile. "I'm afraid that might be all too true," she said. She backed away from the cage and left the room. "You'd better give him some fresh water," Seth's mum suggested, "and some food." At least Seth's mum didn't call me an it, which I always appreciate. Once I was settled in, Seth started playing video games. He didn't merely sit and play video games. He bounced and bobbed. He shook and shimmied. He rattled and rocked. I was feeling kind of woozy, so I crawled into my sleeping hut for a nice doze. I woke up when Seth's mum announced that supper was ready. Luckily, the living room had a big wide opening right next into the kitchen, which is where the family sat down to eat. Suppers at my classmates' houses are always fascinating to me. There are yummy smells and interesting things to hear, all about one person's day at work and another person's day at school. Some people were loud while they ate, like lower your voice AJ and his family. Some people were quiet, like Tabitha and her foster mum. Seth's family didn't talk much, but when they did, it was always about one subject, Seth. "Can't you sit still?" asked Lucinda in a superior tone of voice I didn't care for. "I am sitting still," said Seth. "You are not. You bumped the table. See, my water spilled," his sister replied. "Do try and be calm, honey," Seth's mum said. "In my day," Grandma began, then started again in a much more dramatic tone. "In my day, boys and girls had to sit still at the table without saying a word. That was what we called manners. Are you listening?" "Yes, Mom," said Seth, sounding miserable. Everything was quiet for a while except for the clinking and clanking of knives and forks. I don't know why humans need those when they have a perfectly good set of paws like I do. Then Lucinda exclaimed, "He's doing it again." "What?" said Seth. "You know, what? You know, shaking your legs." "Sorry, Cindy," he said. "My name's Lucinda," she said icily. He used to like being called Cindy. "Well, I don't now." Seth and his family were silent for a while until Lucinda clanked her fork loudly and said, "Oh, really? If you bump that table leg once more, I'll..." "It was an accident," said Seth. "Kids, please." Seth's mum sounded tired. "In my day," Grandma began again. "In my day, children were not allowed to argue at the table." "I'll bet Seth can't stay still for 1 minute," said Lucinda in a nasty voice. "I bet you can't stay still for 2 minutes," said Seth. "June, you should not allow your children to gamble. Grandma grumbled. "In my day, Mother, you are not helping," said June, which was true. My mother wouldn't allow us to make bets. This conversation was getting on my nerves, so I hopped in onto my wheel to try and relax. Unfortunately, my wheel always makes an annoying screech. What on earth is that creature doing? Asked Grandma. He's on his exercise wheel. It's good for him, Seth replied. Grandma sniffed loudly. I guess nobody around here can sit still except me. Well, I certainly can, Lucinda objected. You move as much as anybody, said Sid. Look, you just blinked. Blinking doesn't count. It's banging on the table like you do that counts. Somebody, maybe Lucinda, banged a hand on the table. I could tell because the dishes rattled. Somebody else, I'm guessing it was Seth, banged a hand on the table too. That's enough. Seth's mum sounded as if she was about to explode. Night after night, all you do is bicker about who's sitting still and who's not and who's right and who's wrong. Well, I've had enough. We're going to leave the table and go into the living room and settle this once and for all. For goodness sake, and let my supper get cold, Grandma asked in a sad voice. It's a salad. It's supposed to be cold, said June. I heard irritated mums before, and she sounded as if she'd really had enough. She marched into the living room, and surprisingly, Lucinda, Seth, and Grandma followed. Now, just sit down on the sofa, she said firmly. In my day, children, even adult children, didn't address their parents in that tone of voice, said Grandma. You don't have to be in this contest, Mother. You can go and finish your salad. This is between Seth and Lucinda. Grandma slowly moved back towards the kitchen, then hesitated. What contest? The sitting still contest, so you can sit still the longest without moving. What does the winner get? Asked Lucinda. June thought for a few seconds. A pair of tickets for the winner and a friend to the pictures tomorrow. I'll also provide popcorn, money and transport. I could take my friend Adele, said Grandma. I'm in. She planted herself on the sofa right between Lucinda and Seth. Can we take anyone we want? Asked Lucinda. You may take anyone who is old enough to go to the cinema and behave. Boy, Seth's mum really meant business. I'd have been so caught up in the whole fascinating discussion, I didn't realise I was spinning on my wheel. June twirled round and pointed an accusing finger at me. You have to sit still too, Humphrey. I stopped cold, tumbled off my wheel. There's a trick for getting off a spinning object, which I temporarily forgot. Is Humphrey in the contest? Asked Seth. Suppose he can't go to the pictures, but if Humphrey stays still longer than anyone else, he gets a nice big chunk of whatever he likes. Apples, I squeaked, Seth thought. He likes fruit, he said. Smart guy. June sounded a bit calmer. Let's all relax for a minute and take a few deep breaths. Mum, can we move Humphrey's cage closer? I'm going to concentrate on him. As long as I stare at him, I think I can do it, said Seth. Any objections? Asked June. I don't care, as long as I don't have to touch it, said Lucinda. Besides, hamsters never stop moving. Look at it. I realised that she was right. We hamsters do tend to be as jumpy as Seth. Even if we're standing still, our whiskers are wiggling or our noses are twitching. However, if my keeping still could help Seth. Well, he was a classmate in room 26. We stick together. Seth's mum pushed my table closer to the sofa and checked her watch. I have a second hand on my watch. In 30 seconds, we'll say start. At that point, you must stop all movement. You'll be eliminated as soon as you move. Who gets to be the judge? Asked Grandma. I do, said June in a voice that no one would argue with. No one did, least of all me. Can we blink? Asked Lucinda. Yes, you can blink and you can breathe. That's it. June's watch was very quiet, but I could almost feel the tick, tick, ticking away. The seconds, the way the clock in room 26 does when everyone goes home and it's awfully quiet. I was pretty worried because I was looking straight ahead at Seth and he was tapping his fingers on the table. Lucinda seemed quite determined with her arms folded tightly against her body. Grandma sat up very straight. I bet people in her day always did. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, freeze, said June. I froze. The sitting still contest had begun. Oh dear, If you don't have whiskers, you have no idea how difficult it is to keep them from moving. I stared straight ahead at Seth, who was as motionless as Og is when he sits on his rock. In fact, I tried to pretend that I was a frog, which is not an easy thing for a hamster to do. You can do it, you can do it, I sent out my thoughts to Seth. Even though he probably couldn't hear my thoughts, I figured that as long as I could stay still, maybe he could too. My tail felt like twitching and my nose was itching, and I'd never gone so long without moving. Seth stared at me and I stared back. After a while, Grandma's chin dropped and her head bobbed up and down. Grandma had moved. I didn't even know it because she was asleep. She began to snore softly. One down, said June, keeping her gaze fixed firmly on Lucinda, Seth and me. No one else had made a move yet, and neither did I. Although seeing Grandma asleep like that not only made me want to wiggle, it also made me want to giggle. Seth was as frozen as a statue, and I was proud of him. However, Lucinda looked like she was made of solid steel. Tick, tick, tick. That imaginary clock sounded loud in my brain. Amazingly, Seth still hadn't moved a muscle. I tried to keep my gaze firmly on him. Though once in a while I glanced at Lucinda, I was beginning to believe the girl had turned to stone. Suddenly, I saw her blink. Okay, blinking was okay, but this was like a double blink, like a wink, followed by another and another. Pretty soon she was blinking both eyes hard. Aha, I thought. She's trying to throw me off, because she thinks that if she throws me off, I'll throw Seth off. Which would be a shame, because if Seth lost, he had already sat still longer than ever before. Then it happened. Lucinda's head twitched and the blinking got even faster till she jumped up off the shoulder, holding her eye with one hand. My contact lens! I've got something in my eye! She wailed and raced out of the room. Two down, said June, sounding less edgy than before. I think you're the winner, Seth. Even then, Seth didn't blink an eye. He stared straight at me. Now I got it. Seth was determined to stay still longer than I did. I wanted to squeak with joy because Seth had done so well. But there was the matter of this little itch right next to my nose. It was a little itch which grew into a bigger, more irritating itch that grew into an unbearable tickling itch. At last, I reached up to scratch it. Three down, said June. Seth, you are the winner. Seth leapt up from the sofa and jumped up and down, making V's with his fingers. I won. Tell Lucinda I won. Grandma's head jerked up as she awoke with a start. What's it? She said groggily. Did I win? No, Mother. You moved first when you fell asleep. Perfectly ridiculous. I was just resting my eyes. Seth won. June gave her son a hug. Now we know you can control yourself if you put your mind to it. I suppose, said Seth. He looked worried. I bet he was wondering if he was ever going to have to sit still. Forever. Not all the time, of course, said June. I do believe parents can sometimes read their children's minds, just when you need to, like during a test. Seth sighed. I'll try harder, I promise, Mum. Can I call Tabitha and ask if she can come and see that football film tomorrow? Asked Seth. I'll call her mother after supper, said June. Lucinda wandered in, rubbing her eye. Stupid contact lens. Don't suppose we can have a rematch? Any time you want, said Seth confidently. I'll have a rematch, said Grandma. No rematches, June stated firmly. Now, what do you say we order some pizza to go with that salad? Didn't have pizza in your day, Grandma, did they? Lucinda asked. Pizza in my day? We invented pizza. Pepperoni and onions for me. Hold the peppers. I was glad they weren't arguing anymore, but I worried about those extra peppers. Far too spicy for me. The next day, as promised, June took Seth and Tabitha to see the football film at the shopping centre, a place I've never been to, and Lucinda shopping. Grandma stayed at home. That made me a teensy bit nervous because I had a feeling that in her day, people didn't have hamsters, or if they did something worse with them than put them in the cage. For a while, she ignored me and watched a couple of programmes on television where grown-ups sat around and argued with each other. Phew, I'm glad Mrs. Brisbane doesn't let the kids in room 26 argue all the time. Guess even Grandma got tired of those shows because she turned the TV off and came over to my cage. "Let's get a good look at you, young man." She pulled her glasses out of her pocket and leaned in to examine me. "Well, you're just a little bit of a fellow, aren't you? Not good for much, I suppose." "Me? Humphrey the hamster? Not good for much." I decided to show Grandma a thing or two. I scurried up my ladder, leapt onto a tree branch and hung there from one paw. It was a trick that had never failed to please humans. So far, Grandma wasn't anything like other humans I'd met. I swung myself up onto my bridge ladder, dashed across it and dived into my wheel. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I almost lost my balance. But I managed to get the wheel going without falling over. "Why, aren't you the show-off?" said Grandma, quite the daredevil. Then she did something surprising. She chuckled. Since I was on a roll, I hopped off my wheel, grabbed onto my ladder and hung on with both paws, swinging my body back and forth. "Ha-ha, reminds me of a song we used to sing when we were kids." Amazingly, Grandma began to sing. "He floats through the air with the greatest of ease, the daring young man on the flying trapeze. His actions are da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-dee, and my heart he has stolen away." It was an excellent song. She had a pretty good voice too, even if she couldn't remember all the words. I liked being the daring young hamster on that flying trapeze. "I'd almost forgotten that old song, I'll tell you, Humphrey. That's your name, isn't it?" "Of course," I squeaked. "My name is Dot Larrabee. Humphrey, when I was young, we used to sing all the time. Now kids just listen to music. In my day, we made up our own." I dropped down from my trapeze and listened. "And for fun, we'd go to the roller rink." Dot's eyes lit up as she talked. "There used to be a roller skating rink where the shopping centre is now. Next door, there was an amusement park with a Ferris wheel and a merry-go-round. You could go on a couple of rides, maybe have some cotton candy or a snow cone. Once I saw a dancing bear there. A man would play the accordion and the bear would really dance. Now all there is to do is spend money on clothes. Who cares about clothes? I don't." I was squeaking the truth. I was perfectly happy with my fur coat. "I've seen a lot of changes in my day," said Dot, "but nobody wants to hear about my life." "I do," I squeaked, and I meant it. She smiled again. "You're a lively fellow. I like you, kiddo. I really do. And I really, really, really like Dot." We lived in a yellow house with white trim down on Alder Street. It was a small house with a nice big garden with trees to climb and places to play hide and seek. It was near the Dairy Maid, only back then it was a little corner shop. Alder Street, Dairy Maid, that was right where I come from, next to Petorama. They tore all that down, that street of pretty houses, put in a pet shop and a music shop or something, right where I used to play when I was a girl. They tore down a house to build Petorama. I was learning a lot, because I'd imagined Petorama had always been there at the corner of Fifth and Alder. My mind was a million miles away when I heard a door slam, followed by the stomping and clomping of feet. "Mother," June called out. "I'm in here with Humphrey," said Dot. June, Seth and Lucinda came into the living room, all bundled up in coats, hats and scarves. "You are probably wise to stay home," said June. "It started to sleet." I wasn't exactly sure what sleet was, but it sounded cold, cold, cold. "Of course it is," said Dot. "Anybody with a lick of sense would expect it. Today's the 1st of March. And you know what they always say? March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. Hardly ever fails." "Why, in my day, we had 3 feet of snow on the 1st of March one year. I must have been about 10 or 11, or maybe 11. Seth and Lucinda rolled their eyes as if to say, "There she goes again." But when I looked at Dot, I saw a young girl gazing out of the window of a yellow house with white trim, watching the snowflakes fluttering down, thinking about a dancing bear. Later that night, I was feeling especially nocturnal, so I decided to perform my daring young hamster on the flying trapeze routine for Seth. I leapt up, grabbed onto my bridge ladder and swung across it. "If you were a human, you'd be in the Olympic gymnastics team," said Seth. And it sounded like a very good thing. "I wish Dad could see you," he continued. "He lives in Arizona where it's warm all the time. He teaches high school basketball. I spend the whole summer there and boy, it's hot." "I don't suppose Mrs. Brisbane would let you stay for the whole summer." He seemed disappointed, and I guess I was too. I knew that the capital of Arizona is Phoenix. Phew, that's not easy to spell. But I wanted to know what it would be like to live in a place where it was warm all the time. I glanced out of the window, and not only was it not warm, tiny pieces of ice were falling outside. Sleet. On Sunday, I saw an amazing sight. The trees outside the window were covered in ice, which glittered like diamonds when the sun came out in the afternoon. Dot stood at the window admiring the display. "Yes, sir. March came in like a lion, so you know she'll go out like a lamb. Days like this, when I was a kid, we'd go skating over on Dobbs Pond. Don't kids do that anymore, June?" June joined her at the window. "They paved that over and built houses there years ago, Mother. Fools. What do you bet they get water in the cellars when it rains? You can't stop nature." June called to Seth. Do you see these trees? They're really beautiful." Seth was watching a basketball game on TV. "I saw them," he said, but knew he hadn't, taking his eyes off the screen for the whole game. June went into the kitchen, but Grandma stayed at the window, watching the sun shine through the icy branches. "On a day like this, I'll be out skating on Dobbs Pond." Dot sounded wistful. "If I had a choice, I'd be out there skating with her." Freezing rain and snow keep students inside over the weekend. Humphrey stays warm at Seth Stevenson's house, the Humphreyville Herald.